Ellen was right. Christmas is about giving, and it's about giving love. The incarnation, that moment when God became flesh, it represents the greatest gift of love ever given. The miracle of Christmas is the infinite becoming finite. The word that existed before time and space, stepping into time and space as one of us. The voice through whom everything was made became human and moved into our neighborhood. Advent celebrates the fact that God gave us the gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas is about our infinite, unknowable God becoming close, real, tangible, touchable, comprehensible. Advent reminds us that God gave first and God gave best. That's why we give. That's what giving at Christmas is all about. Now, the idea of the Advent conspiracy, you know, it's really not intended to be against something. It's not supposed to be, you know, we're against these things. It's actually okay for the church to be for something. And that's what we're striving for. We are for giving. We're for Christmas. Mostly, we're for celebrating Christmas in a way that honors God who gave love through Jesus. There's something really beautiful, simply deep, about giving. Giving is a great way to show love. So we're just today talking about what does it look like to give in a way that models how God gave. What does it look like for our gift-giving to be drenched in that moment where God stepped into our world as one of us? So this morning we're going to look at three aspects of God's gift of Jesus that can shape the way we give. First of all, God gave presence. I don't mean plural of present. I mean presence. Joey, do we got that slide? Presence. God gave presence. The angel appears to Mary and says, "You're going to have a baby." And they'll call him Emmanuel, God with us, God's presence. Jesus made God real for us. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. John begins his description of the story of the life of Jesus by calling Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And that's sort of the artistic way that John refers to Jesus prior to that moment in the manger. By calling Jesus the Word, John paints this picture of Jesus who exists from the very beginning of time, before time begins. Jesus exists as the Word, emanating from the mouth of God. And by that Word, everything was created. Galaxies, molecules, creatures, us. The Word spoke all of that into existence. Everything that was made began as a whisper that was Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The miracle of Christmas is that this holy, eternal God chose to step into our world and share life with us. The Word became flesh. The gift of Christmas was the gift of presence. God took on flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. God became one of us. God stepped into life with us. God gave presence. God's gift was also personal. God chose to step into the world because he desired more than anything relationship with us. Picture the stories of Jesus inviting the little kids to come and sit with him. Jesus who reached out and instead of shying away from lepers or sick people, he put his hand on them. Jesus who didn't avoid the outcast and the unpopular and the sinner. Jesus sat at their table and ate a meal with them. Jesus stepped into our world because God longs for relationship. God's gift was personal. This is not a gift from afar. This is a gift up close. John says, we have seen his glory. John's saying, when this infinite God moved into our neighborhood and walked among us, I was there. I saw him. I touched him. I heard him. God was close. God's longing then and now is for us to know him, to have this relationship, to have this connectedness, to experience his presence. God with us. But God's gift was also costly. Jesus gave up everything to enter our world. It cost God his own son, his only begotten son. It cost God that to be able to give us the gift of life. Jesus entered our world not with the fanfare and the celebration that he deserved. He entered our world as a servant, humble, without much stuff. You could say Jesus took a demotion from the throne room of heaven to the footstool of earth. It cost God everything. Now here's an amazing thought to me. When Jesus chose to move into our neighborhood, when he chose to come be among us as one of us, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was getting into. Jesus knew what it would cost him. And because he knew, it made his gift the most sacrificial, costly, loving gift ever given. It was costly and Jesus paid it gladly. God gave presence. God's gift was personal and it was costly. All right, so what do we do with a gift like that? I would guess that there's a bunch of us here this morning who have never really unwrapped that gift. We have it. We know what it is. Maybe we even know what's in it. But we tuck it away safely in a closet and maybe bring it out on Sundays. But we've never really opened it. The invitation of this Advent story is to experience the presence of God, to experience relationship, to experience the sacrificial love that Jesus has for you. You are the object of his desire. You're his passion. You're his delight. Jesus longs to draw close to you. He moved into the neighborhood to get to know you. Jesus gave and gives himself away completely to be with you. What will you do with that gift? Beyond that, how do we give like that? How do we give in a way that tells a better story? How do we give in a way that tells of the sacrificial love of God? How do we give gifts that are all about presence, gifts that are personal, gifts that are costly? And I don't mean financially costly. I mean they're going to cost you creativity and thought and energy and time. How do we give in a way that strengthens relationships? How do we give in a way that communicates presence? So as we've gone through this Advent conspiracy, this is our third year, and there are some stories I just love to tell, and you've probably heard one or two of these, but stories that just help, for me at least, shine a light on what it means to receive God's gift and then to give like God gave. Because ultimately, that's the goal here. The more we get God, the more we get that gift, the more we experience that presence, the personal love of God for each of us, the more we get it, the more we'll give it. So there was a missionary in another country. She was a teacher. She had a student who shows up right around the end of December and brings her a gift, a Christmas gift. It's a seashell. Pretty sweet little gift. But then the teacher realizes this student lives hours, I mean hours, walk from the beach. And so she says, you didn't have to do that. You shouldn't have gone so far to get me this. And the student says, the long walk was part of the gift. Can the long walk be part of the gift for you and your family? As you think about reshaping the way you celebrate, the way that you celebrate Christmas, the way you live your life on a daily basis, can the long walk be a part of your gift? This was one of my favorites. There was a young man who gave his dad a pound of coffee beans for Christmas. But he gave a note with it that said, you can only use these coffee beans when you and I are together. And as we're drinking, I want you to tell me stories from your life of the things that made you who you are. What does that do for their relationship? What does that communicate about the God who longs to know us? These kind of gifts, they remind us of the personal, up-close gift of God that we celebrate at Christmas. The gift celebrates the relationship. How about this one? There was a mom who gave her daughter a pillow that was made of the ties, the neckties, from the girl's dad who had died that year. The daughter opens it and just starts weeping with the profound meaning of this gift. She can smell his cologne on the pillow. I want to have that kind of legacy. I want Christmas to have that kind of an impact in my home. I want to have those kind of relationships. God moves in real close and says, hey, it's not too late. It's not too late to experience me up close. It's not too late to give that kind of love. It's probably going to mean we have to slow down. We've got to be still, make time, listen, pay attention to those we love. But remember, you're not the only loving parent in this picture. You're loved by a heavenly Father who is drawing you close. And the more we get that, the more we'll give it. I want to remind you of, again, the way that we are trying to give together this Christmas in the partnership we have with the church in Malawi. And you know what? This fits so perfectly. We're not just giving gifts to a people that we'll never see. These gifts are about relationship. They're about presence. Speaking of which, you've got about a month to sign up for the trip. I'm going. I'm going to be present with these people so they can give to me and I can learn from them. And we can share together in the gift that God gave us in Jesus. But we are committed to helping in every way we can. And one of the things we have is an abundance of resources. And so we're going to do our best to give to the people in Malawi by building a church and a school. And we're getting there. We're really close. I mean, I don't know why I'm surprised, but I'm just so frequently surprised by the amazing generosity of people in this church, this family. Last week, somebody donated the full cost of a well, a deep well, $5,000, as a way of restructuring the way they celebrate Christmas. And they gave a beautiful gift. So we're going to dig that well. The village that we're in needs three more for the population density there. But our next immediate project after that well is this church and this school, which here we are in a church that meets in a school. This is about our relationship with that village, our connectedness with them, our celebrating together the gift of Jesus who loves us. After the service at the table back there, you'll be able to see some of the ways that we've suggested making a donation in a particular denomination that is, relates to a particular cost of the construction project. If that doesn't really interest you, next Sunday, December 20th, we'll be taking up the Advent Conspiracy Offering, and that's just for those of us who have kind of changed the way we spend our resources at Christmas, a chance to offer those resources to God, to give a gift that honors Jesus on his birthday. So just so you know, that's coming next Sunday. Mostly, I pray that you'll have the kind of experiences that we've heard about this morning on Christmas morning. I was so nervous the first year we did this. I mean, my wife and I took the kids in the month leading up to Christmas, and we made these little handmade gifts for each other. So I took Kobe, and we made something for Melissa, and then I took Maya, and I'm sitting there looking at it and thinking, this is terrible. And then we got together, and we made things for the kids, too, handmade gifts. And I remember laying in bed on Christmas Eve after all those Christmas Eve services, and I'm thinking, they're going to wake up and think this is the worst Christmas ever. I didn't believe that they would feel like you did, Ellen. What, probably my favorite all-time Christmas memory ever. There's nothing I don't think will beat this. They woke up on Christmas morning, and they didn't run downstairs to see what was there. They ran into our bedroom, and they shook us. Come on, wake up. They couldn't wait to show us what they made for us. They couldn't wait to give. I couldn't believe it. This Christmas really is about giving and giving love. May you give like Jesus gave this Christmas. And may you receive what Jesus gave. Let's pray.